The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. We're on Man in Line, open line through till 1 today. So the floor is yours. Call 66 13 68, text 166 177, WhatsApp, same number, or email studio at manxradio.com. Now, yesterday, the leader of Douglas Council, Devon Watson, was on, had lots to say, including the priority on social housing and other things. And to follow up on that or anything else, then by all means do get in touch. 331 emailed Don on another subject and just said, just a quick thank you to all the team at Mandoc. Couldn't get a doctor's appointment for weeks and suffering from a really bad chest infection, breathless, wheezing, terrible cough. Rang them last night, was up there within an hour to see the doctor who prescribed me antibiotics and an inhaler. I told them the woman who answers the phone and the doctors are lifesavers. The A&E departments on the island are stretched and no doctor's appointments, but these guys at Mandoc literally are a lifesaver. I feel great today. Thank you. Big G at the Farmers Combine. Thank you for that. A note in also regarding the railings we were talking about yesterday with Devon Watson, the railings on Douglas Promenade, just in regards to the blue railing on the prom and the maintenance of them. It's not as simple as going down with a welder and sticking them back together again. The railings themselves are metal wrapped in a plastic coating. And the fatal flaw that should have been picked up before is that they were originally installed all those years ago. The plastic isn't paintable. And the metal inside has rotted from the inside out after all the years of being battered by the sea. 1998, they were put there. So I believe this was the reason why they were never replaced or maintained, because they're actually unfit for purpose, no matter how good they look. And they did look nice in the early days. So I understand why the City Council have not and wouldn't put any more money into a project that technically failed on the day that it was installed. The reason that the railings from the memorial to the sea terminal have lasted is because they are not plastic coated, they're treated and painted and relatively easy to maintain. WhatsApper 579. There was much comment about the railings yesterday and what they look like. A question also, Andy just wanted to know when the Derby Square flagpole or the bit of the sailing boat that used to be looked like a flagpole, when's that going to be reinstated? We're going to put that question to Douglas Council. And any plans to resurface the Douglas Promenade walkway, says JB. I'm from the north of the Isle of Man, visited Douglas recently. All that new light does is spoil the view of the iconic building that's the steam packet. Stand at the entrance to the Manx Food Festival tent and you'll see what I mean, says Alison. A follow-up on the promenade rails. The railings on the promenade are dangerously rusty, and if any child or anyone ran their hands on them, the rust could cause infection. I'd love to know who on earth designed and paid for those new seats on Loch Promenade when the seats and the railing need painting with that money. More messages that came in from yesterday. Oh, during the TT period, says Joe, I think we just need some common sense to be applied for both Manx and tourists, locals. It does cause some inconvenience. However, it's been around a lot longer than the majority of us and does bring money into the economy, like it or loathe it. That's where we are today. Although what I witnessed yesterday was a visitor on a motorcycle with a pillion, obviously a little too impatient. They approached the pedestrian crossing opposite the library on Lord Street. Then they became impatient, mounted the footpath and rode along the path to get past the Co-op HGV that's often there. They were offloading to the store near the CAF. They then turned onto the road, did a U-turn on the road to head in the opposite direction, all to save a few seconds waiting and using the roundabout opposite the police station. Sometimes common sense has gone elsewhere for a few minutes, and that's what causes issues for both locals and tourists. I'm a cyclist, and I do have a bell. We were talking about cyclists fairly recently and about exactly responsibilities and stuff like that. And somebody emailed in and just said all cyclists should have either a horn or a bell. I do have a bell and I'm a cyclist, says John, but I find the majority of walkers on the old railway line, Douglas to Peel, have earbuds in and they can't hear a cycle bell. Also, some have dogs on extending leads, which can suddenly extend across the path and tangle up a cyclist along with the dog. So whose fault would that be, says John? Well, I'm assuming it's going to be the dog walker. If they do that, then shortly they should be in control of their dog. Those extending leads can go a long, long way. I can't believe what I'm hearing about cyclists. I don't have an e-bike, just a mountain bike, and it gets me from A to B. People need their heads testing. On what particular point? 320. Did you know the government want to hear from you? They've been talking about this and did it last year, and they want to hear from you. For the second year, the government's holding its Listening to You roadshows across the Isle of Man. Taxation, travel, mental health and immigration, just some of the topics brought up for discussion during the events last year. 430 residents went to them. The Chief Minister, Mr. Cannon, says it's about having open conversations on topics and issues at the front of your mind.
So it's an opportunity for all of us to go to different parts of the island, and indeed for residents in those different parts of the island to meet us face to face and to have the conversations that they might otherwise have ordinarily with their own local MHK. So it is about an all-island engagement programme. And, you know, I think it does follow on from what I thought was a series of successful engagements from last year. So we'll be looking to build on that. Range of issues that were raised with us last year, you know, no surprise, taxation, because taxation had risen. I think transport, logistics were key subjects. Immigration was an aspect. Mental health services, the health services. So, of course, there will be topics of the day that will be important to people. I expect those to be raised very much in that sort of public question and answer session that we will have. But also there's that opportunity to engage one-to-one with ministers. So, yes, it does help shape our thinking. I'm not saying that we addressed every single point that was raised, but, you know, gives us a takeaway in terms of general views and viewpoints. But also, it is a two-way process. And I think, you know, members of the public will find it interesting to hear the viewpoint that the Council of Ministers has on specific issues and or why we are following certain policy directions.
Why are we having it in June? I know, I think it was last year, the former Cabinet Office Minister said the next one was planned for spring. So could you tell us why we're having it, seeing it a little bit later on?
It's just a timing issue, really. I mean, in terms of fitting into everybody's diaries and getting people into a space in a sort of week or so space where everybody's present or as many people as possible. There will be occasionally a minister missing because they have prearranged diary commitments, normally off island. But essentially, this just made the most sense. And, you know, work commitments meant that we couldn't get it as early as we'd hoped we would.
If you'd like to be there, there are four events taking place in Ramsey, in Douglas, in Castletown and in Peel. Doors open at 5:15. Events start at 5:30, finish at 8 o'clock. Each venue is accessible with on-site parking. On Monday, 30th of June, Ramsey Grammar School is the venue. Tuesday, 1st of July in Douglas, Ballacamine High School. Wednesday, 2nd of July in Castletown at Castle Russian High School. And then Thursday, 3rd of July in Peel, it's the QE2 High School. So Ramsey Grammar School Monday, Ballacamine Tuesday, Castle Russian High School Wednesday, and QE2 on the Thursday. And they'd like to see. I just wonder what's you would be talking about in particular. We'll come on to that survey in just a few moments' time about the survey that's basically wanting to know what you think of politics on the Isle of Man. And interestingly, people do have concerns, but are still very much engaged with politics. We can't go without mentioning what happened yesterday in Ramsey and the fact it's now the subject of a murder investigation. Police have thanked members of the public who have offered support to officers and emergency services in Ramsey yesterday. Now, a murder investigation is underway after a local person died following a serious incident in the area at Close Dreen at 3:38 p.m. Obviously, on the Isle of Man, this is very, very rare, and that's why it shocked so many people. Authorities have confirmed another local person has been arrested in connection with the matter, and that murder investigation has been launched. Inspector Paul Kemp says the investigation is ongoing, but urges anyone with information to come forward.
Sadly, the police responded to an incident yesterday in Close Dreen, Ramsey, where despite the medical intervention by officers, members of the public and other emergency services, a local person tragically died. So we're currently in the middle of a murder investigation. That investigation is ongoing, so I can't say any more than that, really. But what I do want to do is, first of all, thank the public. We had a lot of support over this, a lot of people trying to help out. We are conscious, though, that out in the public there is footage, or potentially there is footage and images, and some people may know something that we need to know about. So I would ask people, there's a portal that's been set up online, to go to mipp.police.uk. That's mipp.police.uk, and there you can give your details, you can upload some information, and you can upload footage as well, if there is footage out there. Also Crime Stoppers as well. Always worth reminding everybody, utilise Crime Stoppers if you wish to remain anonymous on 0800 555 111.
You mentioned about uploading the material.
Yes.
You shouldn't be sharing it between each other.
No, absolutely. No. There shouldn't be anything getting shared out there. This is a very sensitive investigation. There's families at the end of this, at the end of the day. And it's really, really important that not only are we trying to seek the truth of what's gone on, we're also trying to do that with a purpose, and that's to look after the families of everybody that's involved in this. So yes, please don't share it. Go to mipp.police.uk, where you can upload it and you can actually comment and let us know what you know.
Inspector Kemp, and the link, by the way, you can actually go to maxradio.com, and there's a link to that particular site if there's some information you have. Obviously, we're not going to talk about that on Man in Line, but I'm putting that information in front of you so that if you do know anything, or you know somebody who knows something that you think the police should know, that's how you get to it. Aside of that, it is underway. There is an investigation, and that's where we'll draw a close on that matter. I missed this yesterday, and I'm sorry that I did. Yesterday marked the 85th anniversary of the loss of the King Ori and the Monas Queen and the Fenella at Dunkirk during Operation Dynamo. I didn't know that, but thank you for bringing that to my attention. What was Devon's view regarding visiting campervans on the promenade getting ticketed to move them on, says Tony? We didn't get to that yesterday. There were so many questions we couldn't get to yesterday with Devon Watson, but he'll be coming back later on in the year to talk about that. I just wonder, I happened to be in Ramsey last night. The Murrock Prom is absolutely jam-packed with motorhomes from end to end. If you're around there, I hope it's all well regulated, and the camper site on the park itself, it was very, very busy. Are there many mobile homes around Peel? There used to be quite a few at the end. I don't know whether that's happening these days. The statistic reporting from Manx Care saying that STDs are 80%. 80+% after TT is very concerning. What does the government intend to do about the figure to bring it down, as it affects all citizens in one way or another? It's a very remarkable finding, says Debbie. Very interesting point, wasn't it, about the fact that sexually transmitted disease, there's a spike after TT. Quite what the government can do about it, and whether or not it's the government's position really to be in getting involved in people's private lives, but the one thing they did say was basically use a condom. That's about it. That's what happens, if romance blossoms at this time of the year, then that's what happens. But amazing. Shambolic. The Douglas bus stop at Lord Street looks completely filthy, strewn with rubbish. So what are we going to do about that? Remember yesterday I asked Devon Watson, he said it's nothing to do with him. Douglas Council don't have jurisdiction over the bus station. So, again, quite what we can do about it. It was interesting to note, wasn't it, what the council is responsible for and what they're not responsible for. Lighting, yes. Pavements, no. Roads, no. So it's all about cooperation with central government. And Tony Brown brought this up. Do you remember when he came on as newly elected chairman of Castle Town Commissioners? In that there has to be communication and cooperation between the local authority and central government to get stuff done. And you'd hope that there would be cooperation, particularly as Castle Town is the ancient capital of Man and Douglas is the capital of the Isle of Man. Well, we watch and wait and see. Douglas City Council should ask DOI to put in more drop curbs, says Ted. We desperately need these for mobility scooters and wheelchairs. We want to be part of the community and contribute to the economy, but we can't if we can't get round. Whereabouts do you need our drop curbs? There are a lot around central Douglas, but any particular places, Ted, where drop curbs should be? And also, it was brought to our attention yesterday about Governor's Hill Play Park and how it's looking a little run down. Tam in Williston said, the Williston Play Park looks terrible, nowhere for the kids. And also, somebody mentioned Nobles Park. So, are there any parks in and around Douglas that are suitable, that are, you know, up to spec and modern and clean and shiny? It would be nice to know. But if Williston Play Park isn't, Governor's Hill isn't, and Nobles Park isn't, well, quite what do you do? No money for the... Pam dropped a note in just to say, Andy, no money for the Play Park refurbishment at Governor's Hill. Potholes in Governor's Hill are disgraceful, but plenty of money for that three legs of man light at the sea terminal. You couldn't make it up. So, and Devon, don't put our rates up to cover all these costs. We already pay far too much, says Pam. He'd probably say it's a different budget. But anyway, and we're trying to find out who exactly is responsible for that three legs of man at the opposite the sea terminal. Is it the DOI? Is it Douglas City Council? Or did one pay for it and the other put the whole thing up? Could you ask, says Julie, why Douglas Council still charge rates on derelict properties? The reason being we cashed in our pensions and bought a property that was derelict, needing everything doing. Replastering, new bathroom, kitchen and what have you. We got in touch with the government to agree to hold off Treasury rates, because no toilet and what have you. They advised Douglas Borough Council, but they still insisted on still charging. So how does this encourage people to do properties up to rent out? Would never ever buy in Douglas again or would advise anybody else to buy elsewhere where they hold off until the property is fit again, says Julie. And Andy, please ask Devon to tell the ratepayers when the sunken gardens will be planted out and the lamppost along the promenade will have floral displays. And during his tenure, how many new social housing units will be built? Well, he seemed fairly unequivocal about that, didn't he, yesterday? I mean, he really wants more social housing in and around Douglas. Housing is one of the big issues, and every politician will tell you that. Right through the election, the politicians will tell you that housing is a big issue. It's one of the reasons people leave the Isle of Man, because they simply can't afford to rent a house, whether they're a family or a single person. And people struggle with big rents. So he aims to alleviate that by bringing in more social housing in the Isle of Man and in and around Douglas. So that was Devon Watson yesterday, what he wanted to do, what he hopes to do, and what he can do in the future, and how he's hamstrung by the fact that the government has to approve stuff. The government has to, if you like, approve the money. That's one thing. Treasury has to release the money. Has anybody seen the motorhomes on the field by the police station? As a camper family of 30 years, when on a campsite, the vehicles are placed 6 metres apart. The way they're all jammed in together, Is that dangerous? Says 332. I spotted that on St George's football field, isn't it? There are an awful lot of vans on that field. Juan joins us first. Hi, Juan.
How are you today, Andy?
I'm up to my knee in messages from yesterday. Devon was very popular yesterday, and I couldn't get to all the messages.
Ah, well, there's a couple of things I'm going to follow up on there. You were talking about the STD rise and at TTV. It was funny, a satirical comment from someone the other day when they said the fun fair was coming back, and they said, they'll give the mothers a chance to bring their children down to have that annual visit to their fathers.
Now,
that was quite satirical.
That's very unkind.
That was quite satirical.
That's very unkind.
But funny at the same time. You had a chap on earlier on, or you had a message earlier on there saying about the railings, and because I've made a comment to Devon about the railings yesterday.
Yeah.
So, yes, I agree with that. I mean, the railings are short and probably not fit for purpose to start with, but, you know, they were all singing, all dancing then, and someone bought into it. But the uprights, I don't think, are covered in plastic, Andy. So you've got
an upright there, which has got a hole in it, which you could put a new railing in. So I don't see a problem with that. You take the old shot railing out, well, it's out. They're lying on the floor, and put a new railing in. So I don't see there's a problem. My biggest thing about this was, and has been as a point of reference for the last couple of years, is the fact that the railings that fell out have not even been picked up by any council workers.
Yeah.
And that was my point, is they'd lie there, and you know how many times I've mentioned this as a point of reference, they'd lied on the promenade there for 2 years, with tourists going past. I mean, I walked that promenade at night time, you've got tourists going past there, you've got people on coaches coming out of the hotels going for a walk, and you've got two rusty railings just lying there. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem, is the lack of them... how can I put it? It's just keeping the place tidy.
Yeah.
And there was the same reference as the chap spoke about with the playgrounds in Willesden. And the playgrounds are horrifically expensive. I understand Devon's point with that. And you've got a line item it and put it in a budget. But you can still repair things. You know, if you paint them, you've got rust preventive paint now, and repair them and make them look good and keep them serviceable. You know, you can do lots of stuff with a welding machine and iron work and stuff. So, you know, it's keeping the place tidy, and that links on to the back lanes. And you know, again, the point of recycling, I went through this in America, actually, with a community there, trying to get recycling in. And it's a very, very hard job to get people to recycle properly.
What, and difficult in America to get people to recycle?
And I'll tell you the reason why, Andy. One of them was, I mean, I had a line budget to get my their refuge in a financial state. Because the amount of refuge was going up. And what people do as well is they don't break boxes down. Everything comes from Amazon or whatever these days. They shove a box, an empty box, in a bin and don't break it down. So you've got airspace in a bin half empty, and that creates a problem as well. People are just lazy sometimes. They just like just throw stuff out and don't, you know, cope accordingly. But in America, and I don't know whether that's like here, any box that's being attached to food stuff is contaminated. So like a pizza box,
yeah,
is contaminated. So the actual whole recycling bin will get fined. You'll get fined as a community by someone who's put in a box that's contaminated with food stuff. So it's very, very hard to get people to understand what's recycling and what's not.
And that's the point in that recycling is... it's changing people's way of life. I mean, the other side of the border in Canada, they go for recycling in a really big way and have done for years and years and years. They really have embraced it. And I just wonder, is it a cultural thing? Because, I mean, America's not a country, it's a continent. You know, people in Wisconsin, yeah, aren't the same as people in Florida or Idaho, yeah, or North Carolina. Everybody's different.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think recycling is common sense. and it's environmental friendly, but we have got a problem with them pushing this and not just being adamant about we're going to push this. At the same time, we've got a problem in our back lanes. And then we've got inspectors who are going around, who are paid hourly by the council, going through rubbish on the floor to find out which house it's come from, seeing if there's any letters in or addresses. So their time is wasted. And then you've got the environmental health people going around then, having to put vermin poison down, because either the seagulls have opened the bags which have been left on the floor. So it carries on. And this is all in the name of environmentally friendly. But it's causing more of a problem on the other side by doing what they're doing.
Interesting. Just going back to this this thing about the railings, got a note in from Trina who said, she said, I could understand them if we didn't have any money, but they've just found a fortune to put that concrete seawall in on Douglas Promenade. So we have this brand new wall that nobody ever asked for. You know, there was no member of the public ever said, we need a big seawall there, and you've got railings either side of it rusting. So they found the money for the seawall, but not for the railings.
And again, is this another way of saying, well, the railings are shot, we're now going to continue the seawall right the way through?
Well, that's the thinking behind it, isn't it? If the railings continue to deteriorate, yeah, they say, well, we'll kill two birds with one stone and just put the wall in all the way.
And again, back to the original point I think we've had there, Andy, is like the level, if you walk along the beach line there, the level between the sand now and the beach is probably about 8 foot, 9 foot if you're looking up. So if that was taken back and dug back and that sand used as aggregate or fill in for roads or something and got the sea level or the sand level back where it was, the seawall would work, because the curvature of the seawall now, it doesn't work, because it's like the sand is about a foot or 2 foot below. Yeah. So it's not operable. So the actual original Victorian seawall would probably work quite effectively, but it doesn't suit the narrative of climate change and net zero and the tides going up. It doesn't suit that narrative, because if that worked, it would prove them wrong in what they're saying. So the whole narrative suits their purpose to do what they're doing, and that's unfortunate, but that's where we are at the moment. We need a little bit of common sense back, Andy.
It will be interesting to see, but anyway, Devon Watson obviously is very enthusiastic about it, and we thank him for coming up and to face the public. I think he enjoyed it anyway.
I think he does. Devon likes the... he likes the euphoria of being on the front of the picture, I think.
All right. Thanks, Stuart. Good to hear from you.
Cheers, Andy.
All right, bye-bye. 26 minutes before one. Has anybody seen the motorhomes on the... Yes, again, everybody's talking about these motorhomes on the police, by the police station. Toilets at Chester Street car park are pristine, says Maggie. The girls do a great job of cleaning the toilets at Chester Street. Well, I'm glad to hear it. Be interesting to know if the new light at the sea terminal was £36,000 to purchase... Was there a cost on top to install, says Tony. Well, I've been sent a few photos of that installation, and I have to say, either it's been damaged when it's been put up, or there's something wrong with it somewhere. There's a few scratches on it. A campsite across, on a campsite again, yes, they have to be 10 feet apart. So the camper van is jammed next to the police headquarters. Is that against regulations? 10 foot apart? Are they more than 10 feet apart? Well, we'll see. And I've got lots of WhatsApps to get to. I'm going to get to the WhatsApps as well now. And that is many years ago. Work parties from Jerby Prison would paint Douglas Promenade railings. Bring back common sense, says Big John. Well, I think work parties, people do go on work placement from Jerby Prison. I don't know that they paint stuff. I think they do help the DOI in certain places. So anyway, text, email, call, WhatsApp, we're on till one today on the open line. I did mention yesterday that we've got Manx Care on in a couple of weeks' time, or a week and a bit's time, Tuesday 10th of June. A week on Tuesday, Chris Stockport is on. He's the medical director, the man who's responsible for the island's medical profession. Chris Stockport is on Tuesday the 10th, and the following Friday, that is a fortnight today, Douglas Central MHK, Chris Thomas will be on Man in Line. Justicia celebrated 12 years in Keys. He got in on a by-election formerly Minister at the Department of Infrastructure, formerly Minister for Policy and Reform, now on the back benches. So Chris Thomas, a fortnight today, Friday the 13th.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
The extended Ramsey Garden Centre is deceptively large. You'll find a warm welcome and everything from bedding and perennials, fruit and vegetables, to lighting, garden ornaments, bird baths, bird tables and indoor and outdoor pots. Come and browse at Ramsey Garden Centre.
Do you want to have your voice heard? The Isle of Man Government wants to connect with you. Join the Chief Minister and the Council of Ministers at a roadshow event near you. Monday the 30th of June at Ramsey Grammar School. Tuesday 1st of July at Ballacameen High School, Douglas. Wednesday the 2nd at Castle Rushen High School, and Thursday the 3rd at Queen Elizabeth II High School, Peel. All events are from 5:30 until 8, and doors open at 5:15. You'll have the chance to meet ministers one-on-one, share your thoughts on national matters, and take part in a Q&A session. We're listening to you. Register your free attendance at islandplan.im/roadshows.
Ellen Van Infuels promotes road safety and would like to thank their customers for their understanding about restricted access and deliveries on and around the TT course during this year's festival. Safety first with Ellen Van Infuels.
Fed up with the shabby state of some parts of the island, dismayed by the grout and litter you pass daily, angered by the decaying nature of the island's infrastructure. Well, what are you going to do about it? That's the challenge set by the Destination First Board, whose remit is to significantly improve the look of our island and to motivate us all to get involved making the island a better place. Find out more about the work of the board on Perspective this Sunday at 12 on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gorn. Rather than just moaning about the state of the island, why not join the happy band of Cape Crusaders with a litter picker in one hand and a paintbrush in the other, and make the island a better place.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Ken's with us now. Hi, Ken.
Afternoon. Sorry about the voice. I've got a bit of a sore throat and cold. West Quay in Peel is chock-a-block with campervans.
Is it?
And I didn't think you could park a campervan over a certain size in the hours of darkness.
Wow.
But you need to know the... Well, I thought I'd read somewhere they passed some bylaw, even a traffic law, that you can't park overnight on a public road above a certain size. But true is, you need to know the model, and you know to need a book to see what, you know, weight it is.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, are these people coming and going, or are they just staying there all the time?
Oh, I think there's quite a few staying there, probably even living in them. Overnight, you know, for a few days.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to mention, are they going to reinstate the bus shelter at Nobles Hospital?
Well, Howard brought this up last week as well. That's a funny thing, isn't it? Just for it to just suddenly go.
Well, no, I think it was all to do with what's being built opposite. Is it the Cancer Centre?
Yeah.
And they were putting one of those... flooring for people to get on and off the bus in wheelchairs, so that the pavement's gone higher. But the bus stop, the bus shelter there was terrible. They put a new one in on the slip road, which you use when the TT's up because the helicopters. They put that one. There's one that appeared there on the left.
Yeah.
But I just hope they're going to put back the bus shelter. But, well, talking about bus shelters, it's been some time I've been trying to get a bus shelter up outside the QE2, because that seems to be getting busier now for people, especially in the winter when it's pouring down.
Was there ever a shelter there?
No, not at the QE2, because all the kids shelter under the canopy of the actual QE2.
Yeah.
And the buses for during the school year, they go into the lay-by. Whereas if it's a normal bus, you stood out in the rain trying to get a bus, maybe you go to another one further down.
Right. So is it is it cold or is it flu you've got, Ken?
Well, no, it's not flu because I'm not aching as such. It's not man. Well, it's not man flu because I'm sort of yes. Okay, then. Well,
there's a lot of it about. That's all I'm saying. There's a lot there of is, it about.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks now.
Good
Bye.
To hear from you. Anybody can clue us in on that, whether or not there has to be permission. Well, can you park a motorhome overnight? I mean, obviously, well, they're all along on the Murrock, so obviously, maybe they're exempt in Ramsey. Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. I think that's what you call wild camping.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. But with this sort of thing going on, the TT this week and Grand Prix, they not get so much then. But you've got to have a little bit of give and take in this. It's the locals that are parking these wrecks in some cases. They're expensive pieces of equipment if you buy one and have a good one, yes. But a lot of people buy these things that are second-hand, and they're lethal. And they do get to a point where they're no use at all, and they just abandon them, basically. So that is the locals' problem. The other lads, they'll all be gone home at the end of this week.
Mm.
I know last night, the chap that's married to our granddaughter, he was coming on the boat last night, and they reckon there was 900 people on the Manxman last night.
900?
So she was pretty full. I don't know what the rest was. But what it was coming on for, and I just heard you talking there and a message about the railings on the promenade.
Yeah.
Well, they must have known that was going to happen because the makeup of those railings at the Queen's Promenade end over, they were like an alloy, I think, and they were just like a tube. And as they say quite rightly, it was a plastic coating, which in a sense was non-paintable. But any salt will get in there. You know yourself, you have aluminium, and it will corrode. You don't see rust, but it will corrode. And that was a problem built in to when they redone the promenade after the IRIS scheme. So they're going to have a very similar problem down on the quayside, North Quay, because I think they're a similar type of railing. So whoever it is building in problems instead of looking to see how they can be, you know, cured. But from the War Memorial over to the sea terminal end, they were cast iron. And as one of your readers, listeners, said, they used to have the prisoners coming in. Now, I don't know what the situation is now with prisoners, what type of prisoners we got up in the Jerby Hilton, but the health and safety people would come down on it like a ton of bricks. They'd have a field day with it because they can't have people untrained, unengineered and all this. They'd find every excuse imaginable to stop it. But these lads used to go down and they would literally chip the railings because it was capable of doing it because it would come off in flakes. And then they would undercoat it and then they would top coat it. And that also gave the boys, well, several weeks it took them to do it. And that gave them a chance to go out and, as part of the rehabilitation, and then, you know, where they could teach them a new trade, possibly. Mm. But nowadays, all this goes out, and they have to sit in and walk around two or three times. I remember when, just after the Summerland fire, there was a lot of the prisoners went down to the Gaiety Theatre when it was owned by the Palace and Derby Castle Company. And all the big screen drops that were in the Gaiety Theatre, and there were dozens of them, the prisoners took them out, and all the rubbish that was in the theatre at the time, because I can say that quite categorically, I was driving the wagon that they were putting it in, and we took it up to Government House and burned it all. Well, that was about eight prisoners, and they were transported in their own vehicle with a couple of officers, and they'd done a superb job. And the same with the Annika here. A group of prisoners came through, cleared all the weeds and rubbish from around the estate, done an excellent job. They should be complimented. And it was brilliant. And then the council just let it go again. and they'd never done anything after that. So it's not the prisoners, it's in the government and it's in the council. A lack of enterprise in there, and we don't need to do that. We don't need to do this. And they're palming things off all the time, and the place is gradually looking shabby.
Well,
I've just been down Strand Street.
What do you think about that idea then, that if the railings are looking shabby, that they may come up with a bright idea of saying, well, we'll just put the wall all the way down then?
Well, that sounds about right. As long as they keep the price under £1 million, they can do it without having to go to Timbrel for the money. And then later on, when they eventually do decide, they'll dig it all out again then, because they want to resurface the walkway. But I've just been down Strand Street, and I was down the other day, and the place is looking sad. As one lady on your programme remarked, shop windows. Empty shops, dirty windows. Even some of the shops that are occupied are dirty windows and dirty structure. But the council should be going down there with a washing machine at night and going through and scrubbing, because all where the dogs cock their legs up against the front of the shops, and there's oil on all these stones and various other bits and pieces where people have been leaving a pavement pizza and all this lot, well, it's not the best of adverts for Douglas and the Isle of Man. So the town council should get their act together and get down into Strand Street, which they're boasting about, the shopping centre of the island. And then if people look around like that, and a lot of these people are from foreign country, Germany particularly, that wouldn't be tolerated
No, it wouldn't. No. Okay, all right, Howard, we appreciate it. Good to hear from you.
Take care. Bye now.
Thanks for that.
Bye.
And a note from Rini, who just said, I agree with Howard. She said the number of shops with dirty windows and ones that are kind of scruffy entrances, she pointed it out. I've mentioned this in the past. Clinton's, the card shop. Dirty windows and scruffy entrance. It's weird. It's weird. Shopkeepers used to be really proud of their windows and their shop. It seems weird that, A, they're allowing it to happen, or that, the people who run the place should surely have a bit of pride in it. Anyway, David's with us now. Nick. Thanks for hanging on, Nick.
Hiya, no worries. Thanks for having me on. I have a question. You know how we have so many campers over at the moment?
Yeah.
Camper vans and whatnot. I live up in Ramsey, and like you were mentioning earlier, Morrett Park is absolutely rammed. Also, the promenade right across from Morrett Park and across from the other one, across from the what used to be Pepsi Max Bowling. There's campers all along there. It is quite an impressive sight if you're a camper person. We have a camper, you see, and we live up there. But the reason I'm on is I was wondering, where is everybody dumping their grey water? Now, if you're not familiar, grey water is just dish water, okay? It's from when you clean dishes or run the tap or fill a kettle or dump out a coffee or a tea that's not been drunk.
Yeah.
There's no place to dump grey water unless it's at a campsite. And we've stayed at Balaf Camping, which is a brilliant campsite, and you could dump your stuff there, grey and black water. But with the black water, there's only one place I know of. But that's in Ramsey. There's a place to dump your black water, which is from your toilet cassette.
Yeah.
But there's no actual grey water place. Now, that's something we would certainly benefit from, is basically it's like a grate in the road. Where, not the road, but, you know, in a park, an area where you can empty your waters. And then you just open your tap, because there's a tap underneath a camper, and you can dump it in there. It's like driving in to get your car jet washed. There's a grate there that collects all the water and the soap.
So what do you think they're doing with their grey water? Just flushing it out into the gutter?
Well, they could be, but we also have, most people have a container they can slide underneath and fill that, but then you've got to carry that over to a receptacle, and the only thing I can think of is they're going to put it in a drain by the side of the road, or walk it over to the bathrooms right next to the boat yard, I think, the eatery there.
So there's no grey water receptacle. I mean, because the space, I mean, I'm trying to think how many camper vans there are at the top of Murrock Park, but they're there an awful lot, aren't they? So there's nothing in the park.
Yeah. No. I had a run there this morning and I lost count after 20 going back towards the pond area from the Grits Blackwater, you know, the top where you have permit parking there.
Yeah.
And there must be 60 campers there.
Good.
And then there's all the ones end to end across from the old apartments that are on the promenade before the swimming pool.
Well, as you say, it is a very impressive sight, but it shows that there's a need for some sort of infrastructure for mobile homes.
Absolutely, and considering that they're becoming more and more common, I mean, you just think about. Even a couple of TTs ago, you never saw that many. I think they've become a trend. And now, you know how we're having, well, they say we've got 40,000 bikes or 40,000 visitors.
Yeah.
And we're up 4.5% on Steam Packet. I would love to know how many campers and camper vans are coming over and see if that's increased in travel on the Steam Packet.
Okay.
Just out of curiosity. But the grey water issue, you know, if you dump it in the drain, it's really no different than dumping it down your sink at home. But if somebody, Joe Public, comes by and sees this emptying, they're going to absolutely flip their lid because they'll think it's something entirely different.
Yes.
And they'll be like, oh my gosh, you know, like, I can't believe somebody's dumping that in our...
But there is a big difference between grey water and black water.
Absolutely. It's almost black and grey, if you pardon me.
All right, Nick. Good to hear from you, Nick. Thanks for raising that.
Thank you.
Thanks for that. Bye. Okay. And David's with us now on Man in Line. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. Just to add to flavour regarding the bus shelters there, don't forget we've still got the one near Port Jack Chippy there that we promised. Remember, there was a promise there from the DOI to have it replaced. And that's another 4 weeks gone. That's about nearly 15 weeks now we're waiting. And I remember talking to the guy who said they were on order. I just wonder where the DOI ordered these shelters from. And I believe they've got some hidden somewhere for other projects, but they won't use. And I don't know why they won't do that. Regarding camper vans, Belgravia Road, have a look this weekend. We've got our seven residents there. We've got a visitor from across. I think they're from France or somewhere like that. You know they're staying there because they put the chocks underneath to balance the camper van up so they can sleep. And then the other thing about grey water is, don't forget, they put in, and I know the guy, and I'm a plumber by trade, is you're using bleach, you're using all sorts of chemicals going down the drains, the surface water drains, what we call the storm drains anyway, is not all of them go to a sewer. They were all disconnected donkeys years ago, so the Iris project didn't have just volumes and volumes of grey water or surface water or rainwater, so they were taken out of the system.
So
we don't want people doing that.
So where do they drain to? Where do they flush out?
What do you mean, the surface gullies?
Yeah, where do they
go
to?
Some of them will come out of Port Jack. Port Jack Glen is, there's no river there. That's a storm culvert, or storm culverts come into that. So when we don't have any rain as a minute, you'll see the trickle of the stream there is going green and grey and all colour because the blooms, and it's like a fungus or an algae that's growing in the water.
Right.
Which one's cleaning out in the future. But we need to get together when we meet these ministers and say to them, these are the policies we want done. How can you do it in the future, and especially DOI?
Okay.
Talk to the people.
All right.
Bye.
Good to hear from you. Thanks. So that's 5-1 on Man in Line. Somebody said there's a grey water point on Ramsey Prom. Where about? Which prom? South Prom or Murrock? Thank you for that. That's 566 who tells me. And... I wonder what Margaret Thatcher would have said to Devon Watson about the right to buy. Your own council house, he said it didn't work across. It let tens of thousands buy their own home and got them, most of them were refurbished by the owners, and the mix of private and council-owned estates lowered crime rates because people cared more. I think it's a fabulous idea to rent the right to buy, as the money is then used to build more dolgy or social houses. And like he said, they're cheaper to build because they're built on brownfield sites the council already owns, which is normally half the cost, before he dismissed the idea. Well, yeah, Devon Watson didn't really go for right to buy. It was proposed here years and years ago, but it never made it. A message in from Winnie. She said, you get bus shelters from Shelters R Us. I don't think you do, Winnie, but never mind. Joanne said, Andy, you mentioned this 20-mile-per-hour speed limit exhibitions. Where are they? Onken Commissioner's Office has got it. Onken Library, you can see it. Douglas City Hall. The Henry Bloom Noble, sorry, the Douglas City Library, as it's called now, and the Sea Terminal in Douglas. Now, the plans are there till Friday, the 4th of July, and you can consult, you can throw your two penneth in for this 20-mile-per-hour speed limit. They're big, big maps, and you can see more. That's it. Have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy the practicing and the racing. Stay safe, and thanks to Chris on the phones today.
W. I.